Will you turn to 2 Corinthians 6, please? 2 Corinthians 6. This is for all you servants of Christ who have too many troubles, who don't impress people, who don't feel much spiritual power, who regularly feel weak. That's what this is for. There's a few people here who don't have any trouble like that at all. So, the problem at Corinth was Paul's troubles and weaknesses. Troubles and weaknesses. The Corinthian believers did not think Paul was a real apostle, mostly because he had too many troubles. He did not impress people. He did not look successful to them. He looked weak. The Corinthians thought this about Paul because their society said people like Paul aren't a success. And there were some false ministers who came into that church that were impressive. And they looked successful. And they did not look weak. And they told the Corinthian believers that Paul was not much of an apostle, which the Corinthians had wondered about already because they were still thinking like the world around them. And then they used other things against Paul. For example, that he changed his mind about returning quickly, or that Paul refused to take money from the Corinthians. They used that stuff to make him look worse. But the main problem was too many hardships, too ordinary, not impressive, looked weak. So we need to pay attention, my brothers and sisters, because their society is like ours. And the church in North America has remarkable similarities to the Corinthian church. So we also doubt ourselves because we have too many troubles and we don't see the kind of victory and triumph we would like to see. Shouldn't God's servants be more powerful if they're servants of God? So we need to hear how God teaches us to respond to this. And this is going to be a long introduction about 2 Corinthians and then we'll get to chapter 6. But this is not, I'm not derailed yet. In this letter, Paul talks about being a servant of Christ. Not about being an apostle. Paul has no doubt that he is a true apostle of Christ, but he speaks to them as a true servant, not as a true apostle. And who of us is not a servant of Christ? That's why I'm teaching 2 Corinthians, because we are all Christ's servants, and because this letter is about true servants. In Greek, minister and servant are the same word. Ministry and service are the same word. And 2 Corinthians uses those words three or four times as often as Paul's other letters. This is a word about service, about ministry, about being servants. All right. So that's the problem, is what they thought about Paul. And here's Paul's response. I'm summarizing. He sees hardship as their blessing and their credential. So they say, Paul has too many troubles, too much distress, not enough victories, too ordinary. As an apostle, he's a failure, or he's not one at all. And so what Paul does is he turns this upside down. And in four sections of 2 Corinthians, he describes his troubles. And every time, his troubles make him a genuine servant of God. And instead of using other things to convince them that he's an apostle, he uses the very thing they used against him. Four times in this letter. Four hardship lists. And we've done two already. Today's text is the third. The first description of Paul's troubles is in the opening thanksgiving, chapter 1, verse 3. Thanks to God, he says, for all his compassion and comfort in our troubles. And then, get this, our troubles are for you Corinthians. If we are troubled, it's so we can help you in your troubles. When we're comforted, it's so we can pass on our comfort to you. Our troubles are for your good, your comfort. Don't throw me out because of my troubles. They help you. They make me a good servant of Christ to you. That's the way his thanksgiving works. He's not feeling sorry for himself, but he says, you're completely seeing this wrong if you're throwing me out because I look weak, because this is how God brings his life to you. The second sufferings paragraph begins in 4:7. We have this treasure in jars of clay, so the greatness of the power would be from God and not from us. So he says, we are always perplexed, but not wiped out. We are always thrown down, but never destroyed. So that's what it's like to be an apostle. Why is it like this? So we can bring the dying and rising Christ to you. We carry around the death of Christ so that Christ's life will work in you. Again, our troubles are for your good. Our troubles and the way God takes care of us are our way of bringing Christ's death and resurrection to you, Corinthians. And whenever believers are living the Lord's way, this is what's happening. Don't reject me because of my troubles, says Paul. They bring God's life to you. What do you think about that? So he's not giving them other reasons why they should trust him as their apostle. He's telling them that you're rejecting the very thing that brings you God's life if you reject me because of my troubles. That's his answer there. So those are the first two of Paul's four suffering sections. We'll do the third today, and the fourth is longer, in chapter 11 and 12. In the third and fourth list, the logic is a little different. Paul says, these are my words, my troubles are my badge. It's my license that I'm a real apostle. They're my certificate. They're my credentials. They prove I'm the real thing. If false ministers had my troubles, they'd quit ministry in a week. If those who peddle the gospel had my troubles, they'd have a different business in a week. That's my words, not his. He does not say that, but that's the logic. We have this treasure in clay jars so that the greatness of the power should be from God and not from us. And so the Corinthians and the false servants use hardships and distress to prove he's not the real thing. And he's using it to prove that he is. That's what's going on in this letter. I mean, you were here for the prayer time. There are lots of troubles in this room, and that's not a new development. That's why we're talking about 2 Corinthians, just to give us another perspective. All right, let's go to our text. This is the third troubles list. It starts in chapter 6, verse 3. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry, our service will not be discredited. Rather, we commend ourselves in every way as servants of God. Okay? So, especially this opening line in verse 4. We commend ourselves in every way as servants of God. Now, if you had to write a list of things for somebody to prove that you are a genuine servant of God, what kind of list would you write? How would that look? And we're assuming you understand that you are a genuine servant of God. You're not perfect, but that's your intention to serve Christ and you have lived this. How would that list look? What would you write down? I don't want to know. But you don't want to know my list either. I would be very awkward. I don't know. It would not be a very long list. The first thing in Paul's list is great endurance. Great endurance. So let's talk about that. We'll go from the middle of verse 4 to the end of verse 5. In great endurance, in troubles, hardships, distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. We commend ourselves in every way as servants of God, and here are 10 nasty things about my life. Actually, 9. The first one was endurance. See, well, okay, Paul does not look powerful. No. Is he impressive? No. Does he have troubles? Yes. Are there signs of victory and triumph? No. Does he have endurance? Yeah, actually he does. Do you have a lot of endurance? Well, yes, his critics would give him A+ for endurance. How does the guy keep going? With all those troubles, how does he manage to go to the next place and talk about Christ again? How does he keep going? How can he even do that? He's such a wreck. Much endurance. Okay, that's the heading of the list. This is how. So, we commend ourselves in every way as servants of God. And then you have a list of troubles, the opening line being, in much endurance. I don't quit. Okay, I won't quit. This is how we commend ourselves. I do not quit following the Lord. So let's look at this list. He's got three sets of three here. So there's 10 troubles from the middle of verse 4 to the end of verse 5. And the first one is great endurance, and that's like a title over the other 9. Then we have three sets of three. So the first set is trouble, hardship, and distress. These are all very wide categories, all kinds of things. And the last one especially, so troubles, hardships, distresses. Distress means this is not just external circumstances. We're talking about anguish, discouragement, perplexity, just mental fear, raw fear. All those kind of things. So troubles, hardships, distresses. It's wide open. So he endures troubles, hardships, and distresses. That he trusted God in such a way that there was always peace of mind. That's not Paul's life. That might have worked for some, but it did not work for Paul as it did not work for David. Okay? There's not peace of mind. And trusting God does not mean peace of mind. He certainly lived in faith. But there was lots of internal distress. I've been a little sorry to find this out myself from 2 Corinthians, because I thought if I trusted a little more, there would be less worrying. But apparently that's not part of Paul's experience. So that's the first three. And then the second three come from unpleasant people. Beatings, imprisonments, and riots. Standard fare. Oh, I can't imagine. And reading through Acts, we can see all those things. Other people were regularly brutal to Paul. And if he left Christ, he could quit this by the end of the week. He doesn't have to live like that, but he's got to quit following Christ. Beatings, imprisonments, and riots. And just living for Christ requires him to do that. And the third set of difficulties, physical difficulties, are from just daily life. Hard work, sleepless nights, hunger. Okay. He lacked rest, he lacked sleep, he lacked food. What kind of a mood are you in when you lack rest, sleep, and food? You don't want to know what kind of a mood I'm in. Anyway, we'll come to that. But these are standard things in his life. He lacks rest, he lacks sleep, he lacks food. Hard work, day and night, sleepless nights, and hunger. So these are all regular experiences for Paul. All kinds of troubles, hardships, distresses. From angry people, I get beatings, imprisonments, and riots, the daily discomforts of hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. And don't miss this remarkable thing, my brothers and sisters, that when he's questioned about being genuine before God, he begins his list with the troubles that he endures. We commend ourselves in every way as servants of God. Much endurance of all this long list of troubles. So, he doesn't just mention them, he parades them, and they prove he's not a fake. They prove he's a real servant of Christ. All right. There are three parts to his troubles list here, and that's the first one. The first one is his credits and references are just the endurance of his troubles. And then in verse 6 and 7, he switches to character. The fruit of the Spirit. The list changes. This list is a lot like the fruit of the Spirit near the end of Galatians 5. So now, he's still talking about how he commends himself. Let's read verses 6 and 7. In purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and sincere love, truthful speech, in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left. I'll explain some of these a little bit. The purity here is purity of motives, sincere in wanting to serve Christ. And understanding here means a basic knowledge of God's ways. So let's go through this again. Purity of motives, understand God's ways, patient and kind toward people, in the Holy Spirit and sincere love, truthful speech, in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left. Now, to be enduring all kinds of those troubles, and for me particularly, I have to add this to the list, no rest, sleepless nights, and hungry, and then be patient and kind toward people, steadily, sincere love, purity of motives. When he's totally apart from the other suffering, just he's not sleeping and he's not resting and he's hungry. See, when that's what the Holy Spirit is. That's the power of God. Those are the weapons of righteousness in the left hand and in the right. Simply that he can be in trouble like that and can be patient and kind toward people. That he can speak the truth and have sincere love. He can do that when all this stuff is going on, and that's the mark of an apostle. You can have all that junk going on in your life and all that abuse from people and being sleepless and hungry and tired, and you can be patient and kind and your motives are pure and your love is sincere. And he was with the Corinthians and he lived all of this out in front of them. They know he's not lying. He's not exaggerating. People sometimes think Paul was not very pleasant to be with. I don't know what it was like, but he's saying these things to those people, and they saw him in great distress in Corinth for 18 months. Every day, they saw him. If he's lying, they know he's not lying. That's an apostle. That's an apostle. I don't show the fruit of the Spirit very well when life goes smoothly. And the fruit of the Spirit takes a big hit when I am tired or hungry or don't sleep well or am around angry people who mistreat me. There's not much left. I have to just go hide until I get rest and food and get a little peace and then maybe the fruit of the Spirit. But this is how an apostle lived, right? There was this steady barrage of trouble that they endured, and the fruit of the Spirit came out, and that's the power of God. Okay, I'm going to read this again, and I want you to see God blended in here. We commend ourselves, purity of motives, understanding God's ways. We are patient and kind toward people. In the Holy Spirit, in sincere love. Truthful speech and the power of God. See, those are the Spirit's work and the power of God. The weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left are the ability to have those kind of troubles and show the fruit of the Spirit at the same time. That's the power of God. That's how you could tell they were a real apostle. They could endure all that distress and angry people and be patient and kind and showed sincere love. And the Corinthians knew that was all true of Paul. See, that is the power of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And those are the weapons of righteousness. He's not exaggerating, and they know it. And that's how Paul shows that he really is a servant of God. Now, miracles. We need to talk about miracles. What about all those signs and wonders? And why are they not a part of Paul being a real apostle? In 2 Corinthians 12... he mentions that in 12:12, 2 Corinthians 12:12, near the end of the letter, he's beginning to wrap up. He mentions signs and wonders. The signs of an apostle were done among you while I was among you with great endurance, signs and wonders and miracles. The signs of an apostle were done among you with great endurance, signs and wonders and miracles. So, I want you to notice a couple of things about this here. So he does mention signs and wonders and miracles as part of the reason they should not reject him. Comes up in the letter. But notice, this is one verse. There are about 50 verses in 2 Corinthians that list his troubles as part of defending himself. 50 verses of troubles and one of miracles. And that one comes at the end of the letter. It's actually an afterthought. He's basically made the whole case. He does not want them thinking he's an apostle because of miracles. He has no interest in that. I'm guessing the false minister did some stuff that looked pretty good too. He does not want to go that way. And in the middle of that verse, he still says great endurance, which I don't like how the new NIV does it. They make it enduring miracles. But he showed great, in the middle of his signs and wonders and miracles, he's living a life of considerable hardship. And he puts that in that verse. So these miracles, whatever they were, they did not rescue Paul from his troubles. That's not how it went. Paul performed miracles, plenty of them. They did not get him out of trouble. They showed other people that the gospel was real, and they did not make life easier for Paul. And he did not think they were much use in proving he was an apostle. So the main evidence that he was real seems to come in two parts. He endured all kinds of trouble, all kinds of suffering that would cause a false minister to pack up. And two, by the power of God and the work of the Spirit, he lived out the fruit of the Spirit in all those nasty days. That's basically how he shows. He's got a third part to this list, verses 8 to 10. I'll read it through. It's just a life of contrasts. This is what it's like to be a true servant. Through glory and dishonor. Bad report and good report. We're genuine, but regarded as imposters. We're known in some circles, but regarded as unknown. We're dying, but we keep living. We're beaten, but we're not killed. We're sorrowful, but we always rejoice. We're poor, we make many rich. We have nothing, and yet because of the Lord, we possess everything. So there's lots in there about the flavor of the life too, but we won't expand on this. There's not a hint here of steady troubles, meaning there is sin in our lives, or that we're not trusting God enough, or that the people praying for us aren't trusting God enough. After this letter, if we said that to Paul, he would say, where on earth did you hear that? It's just not in the picture here. It doesn't fit into any part of this picture. He doesn't even have to have a talk about that. He just ignores it. The power of God in this scripture is this combination of enduring troubles and showing the fruit of the Spirit in daily life. I do not mean here to discourage prayer for relief and deliverance. I hope nobody hears that. That's not the point. And in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul will tell a story from his own life where he prayed repeatedly for God to rescue him from something. So obviously it's not wrong, and he had some reasons to expect God would answer. In that particular case, God did not give him what he wanted, but that's not his only story of his life. He will have had other stories in his life where God gave him what he wanted. He didn't that time. So Paul had many prayers answered. So pray for healing of all kinds. I do not mean to discourage that. But I do mean to be very clear here about what the true minister of Christ actually lives like, and that persistent troubles are no evidence for the absence of God. And persistent troubles are no evidence of the absence of the Holy Spirit working in us. Okay? None of that. Could we just serve Christ and treat people kindly? We will see, not see God, but we are actually living out the power of God in a remarkable way if we can serve Christ and treat people kindly while there's all that stuff going on. And that's what he aimed people at. And he says that is what the false ministers will never do. The people who don't really love Christ will not do that. That won't happen. And so it's unpleasant that the test is not as easy for us. And in Paul, these things, the volume is turned out because he's an apostle. And my life is not like that. But there are enough troubles in this room that, and you know, the thing is, this idea of enduring troubles and showing the fruit of the Spirit, there's lots of that in this room. Okay? There's lots of that in this room. It's lived out hear it among us on a regular basis. There's much of that in this room. And that is the power of God, and that's the weapons of righteousness in the left hand and on the right. Amen. Let's pray.